Something I found out about adventure racing is when you're wearing an adventure race bib, it's like a badge. You can do anything you want. So, you know, sleeping in cemeteries in the middle of the night, just lay down, take a nap. Some guy's front yard, we took a 15-minute nap.
Yeah.
Welcome to another episode of Coaches on Couches.
Being slouches. Couple of non-slouches.
Two more non-slouches.
So we upgraded. Last time we only had one guest on. This time we upgraded to two. Pretty soon we're going to run out of room on the couch.
Yeah, the Costco special is almost fully taken here.
Almost full.
So we got to move over.
We got Keith Merriman and Brian Eason with us today. They just got done, 6 weeks ago-ish, doing an adventure race, yep. An epic adventure race, especially for a first timer. We're going to dive into all of that. The focus for this show is going to be on adventure racing, you know, what it is, how they balance their training with accomplishing these epic-style events while also managing, you know, companies, employees, children, demanding life schedules. So,
but first...
Without further ado,
shout outs. So my first one, I was Philip Young, mm-hmm. the Machine, second overall at Dragonfly Triathlon this past weekend. And then my second one is all of the awesome people that showed up in the pouring rain last night to the last time trial that got washed out. So
yeah, and had ourselves a good time last night.
We did.
Cool. Well, let's go ahead and jump right into it. We're going to start off by just kind of hearing the, you know, quick 1 to 2 minute life story, athletic background. You know, we just want to hear from birth until right now, everything that's happened in 1 to 2 minutes.
You'll go ahead first.
Yes.
Inside joke. Keith Merriman, grew up played soccer till I was 40 years old, tore both ACLs in 1 year.
So they're good. So you have good knees.
So yeah, knees. Good knees now. Thanks though, and Tabor. But
shout out
to him. So a friend of mine brought a cycling magazine by the house with a six pack of beer and said, hey, you ought to look at cycling. So I got into cycling and mountain biking, road biking, and changed my life.
Excellent.
That's it.
Bam.
All right. I did not start off in soccer. picked up mountain biking.
Knees.
Yeah. They're great. Yeah.
So far.
And cycling's probably been better than doing any other sports, like a long distance running or something like that, for me anyway. Did a lot of mountain biking in college, and after that, wound up getting into some adventure races for the adventure part of it. Led into all kinds of other sports, the paddling side, more cycling, just a diverse background after having jumped into AR.
Yeah, that's the coolest thing about adventure racing, mm-hmm. is the multitude of disciplines, and every adventure race doesn't always have all of them.
Which we'll dive into again here in a second.
So real quick, what are your kind of breakdown, your present life demands, work, family, that kind of thing, just to give everybody an idea.
For the people out there who are saying that life is too busy to maybe take on something epic, get into mountain biking.
Put them in their place.
Got it.
Let them know what your guys' life demands are, and I'm sure a lot of people will be able to relate.
Right. I think commonly both Keith and I are business owners, which does not mean the days by the pool. It means quite the opposite. It means that we have a lot of people coming to our door. I'm in construction, steel fabrication, and that keeps me busy, as well as three kids. The oldest one just took off to college. Still two more in the house. With all their activities, that makes a pretty full schedule. For me, the workouts are a little earlier in the morning, trying to get it in before the day does get too crazy. That's kind of what I'm balancing right now.
So I'm a business owner, four kids. It's definitely doable. But I do the early a.m. peddler ride, shout out. shout out boys out there. It is what it is, but at this stage of my life, it has to, as you get older, you want to continue, you want to age gracefully. You want to be in shape. You want to make this work, and it's doable.
And that was one of the things we talked about when you and I were first discussing coaching. I've been coaching Keith for a while. Brian and I are just starting to work together as well. And one of the things we talked about is we wanted you fit enough to where if you went and did a 60-mile mountain bike ride, you could do it. If you wanted to hammer on the Tuesday, Thursday peddler ride, you could do it. But one of the big focuses is maintaining functional strength and the ability to, 10 years from now, be in as good of shape or better shape and be able to move and function and do the things you like. So that's kind of been the focus of our training. And adventure racing kind of goes into that quite a bit because there is so much variety in it. Let's kind of dive into what is adventure racing. I asked my wife this morning, I was like, all right, we're going to have some folks on talking about adventure racing. What questions would you want to know? And she's like, what is adventure racing? And I was like, great first question.
Right.
Great first question. Yeah. So what is it? Brian, you're the long time.
Yeah. Well, that is a really good first question because it does not have the coverage of, say, a triathlon or something that's easy to cover, like a marathon or something like that. Typically, it's a bunch of people at a starting line. A gun goes off. They run into the woods, and then that's all you see.
Do they run because the gun is pointed at you?
It's because your family can still see you at the starting line. Once you get into the woods, the pace drops off. Depending on the length of the race, obviously, you will get into a little calmer, balanced pace.
Yeah.
Adventure racing itself, you really have three different main disciplines. Whether you're trekking, you're on foot of some form or fashion, up and down mountains, trail running, just getting by. By foot, whatever that may entail, maybe bushwhacking.
Dive into that a little bit on the upcoming race recap.
Then you have, of course, the cycling.
Mm-hmm.
Always with mountain bikes, but hopefully you're on the bike. There's the disciplines, the bike whacks. Yeah. That's the bushwhacking with a bike on your back, which is a little frustrating.
Oh,
but
for sure.
Again, it does get into the functional strength, as you thought you'd be on the bike, but really the bike's on you.
We're actually going to practice that quite a bit. So Stairmaster with the bike on your back is going to be a big part of training.
Yes. While someone beats you with tree limbs.
Tails there with the tree limbs smacking you.
Yeah. But then typically you have some kind of water discipline, kayaking, rafting, canoe, some kind of paddle. Even
lakes, rivers, oceans,
all of that, depending on the part of the country, part of the world.
Yeah.
A lot of races will throw ropes into it.
Yeah.
You'll have some kind of either ascending or rappelling.
Okay.
And then, of course, the whole thing's done with map and compass.
Yeah.
You do all that without a race course laid out. You have checkpoints.
That's kind of the crazy thing, I think, is... Yeah, you have checkpoints. You don't. It's up to you to decide how you're going to get there, right? Yeah.
Correct.
The orienteering side of it is
so
always.
So you just use the sun, correct? That's... You just.
you actually. Yeah, if it's there.
Navigate off sun and moon, North Star.
Yeah, it's a good way to kind of keep oriented. But no, map, compass, depending on the race, whether you're in a lot of tree cover, it can be very exciting. Staying found is key. it also where your fitness is and what your particular attributes are. It may be the long way around the mountain, but if you're a good long-distance runner, that may just keep it simple. Gravel roads, fire roads, run it. Someone else may decide to go over the top of the mountain.
Okay.
It may be better for them.
Now, is it typically always run as teams, or are there solo events?
You can do a few of them solo, but typically it's a four-person co-ed. Which is, really interesting dynamic that, you've got to get everybody to the finish line.
Yep.
And especially on the longer races, you're going to hit your your times where, you know, everybody's in a different spot mentally and or physically. You know, somebody's feeling great. Someone else is typically not. You're shifting the load from the faster person to the from the slower person to the faster person, trying to bring that overall team speed up.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, you know, that's, you know, a lot of different mixed components to that.
Yeah. So how'd you get into it?
Oh, gosh. I guess I was back in the days where they Mark Burnett had the old Eco Challenge on.
Oh,
and saw that. And I was like, you know, that looks like something, you know, incredibly interesting. Of course, it was in, you know, big picturesque places, big vistas. And I went to just go find something like that and, you know, just led into a whole nother world. My lack of discipline in a single sport, my ADD kicks in, and you know, you wake up with something different every day. It kind of fits where I was.
That's why people get into triathlon, because they can't stand doing one thing all the time.
Want to break it up differently?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I tried to get an internship in college with a place in Virginia called like Odyssey Adventure Racing or something like that.
Yep, that's where I first learned.
Did they? Yeah, they never called me back.
Dale's like, I'm a football
Look
player.
Look at me now.
I'm a football player.
Yeah, I was a lot bigger back
then. Sign me up. Well, Keith, how'd you get into it?
Brian. Mistake.
I said yes. You were duped into it, right? Yeah. You said
earlier. I'm the kind of guy that if, obviously, the adventure piece of it was intriguing, but if you're like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, what do you think? I'm like, go for it. If it's investing in a business, if it's whatever it is, I'm like, I'm usually the guy that goes, yeah, let's do it. So if you really want to, if you want somebody to really sort of look at something and evaluate it and spend some time and give you an honest answer, don't come to me. I'm in. I'm that guy.
The impulsive yes.
I was second guessing that a few times during the race, though. I have to admit it. Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah, you should have delved into the details a little deeper on that one.
I should have asked a few more questions.
We're getting beforehand.
Well, and I will say one thing interesting about Brian. Once we got there in New Hampshire, and he got amongst his people, and it was very obvious. He was very comfortable, and they knew him. And I felt like the odd man out a bit. I'm like, you know, I've got these saucer eyes, and he is like just loving it. And I'm scared. But it was a great experience. I loved it.
So let's jump into the race a little bit. You guys went up to New Hampshire and did a race called Untamed New England.
Right.
So let's give us like a quick, you know, 3-5 minute recap of the race, if you can in fact put that long of a race into 3 to 5 minutes. But
I'll start.
Roll with it.
So since I was the new guy, I guess I can give you a perspective from that. The big thing about adventure racing what I didn't realize is it's really a mind game. It's really meant to screw with your mind. And then your body has to answer as well. So we show up at University of New England, or University of New Hampshire, and they announce, okay, the race is going to start in Maine. It's 3.5 hours away. So then you have no technology. I can't text my wife and go, hey, honey, I'm going to Maine. It's over. So at that point, I'm in a blackout, you know, area, and they're like, there's buses outside, get on the bus, go. So I'm totally freaked. Where's Maine? It's got to be north. Okay.
Uh-huh, yeah.
What's Maine like? Do they have mountains? What's
that?
So we have no idea what we're dealing with. We get there that night. They give us a full map. This is where you're going. This is what you're doing. And we're going to end up back in New Hampshire. So we just have to cross the White Mountains on mountain bikes, 120 miles of climbing, I don't know how many thousands of feet.
Like total duration was 4 days, correct?
Yeah, that was the race duration. I think we finished in three and a half or 76 hours, something like that.
Just a little bit of time.
And the interesting thing, I don't want to jump on this too much, but the interesting thing about these races is time kind of goes away. It's is this one day, or is this second day, third day, fourth day?
Yeah.
You know, but what you can't think about is, okay, in the first 24 hours, it was probably the hardest part of the race. I'm like, there's no way I can go another 24 hours like this. I'm not going to make it. But then you know, time just sort of morphs, and all of a sudden it's dark, then it's light, then it's dark, then it's light.
And, you're delirious.
At that point, you realize you've gone feral.
And Brian talks about that. You do go feral. You come one with nature. And I was like, what does that mean? Well, what it means is when you're walking and there's a huge bog, you just walk through it. And it's funny. One time I looked down and these bugs just started like crawling to us and up our legs. And we're like, we're not a tree. I mean, it was really weird. It was the strangest thing.
Or you thought, or am I? Yeah. I've been here that long.
We'd go through a town and we must have just really looked bad and smelled bad, because women are like grabbing their kids and pulling away from us. And
people are locking doors.
Yeah. It was a strange experience.
Yeah.
But it was very cool.
So first I watched they had the YouTube video that got sent around that I watched. And it was what, the first 25 hours was bushwhacking.
Yes.
And
it was,
you hear bushwhacking and okay, they're going some trails and they kind of dip it. No. The video.
Bend the tree out of the way.
Yeah.
That was a challenging start. It probably was the hardest leg of the race, and they just hit it right out of the starting gate.
They set the tone.
Yeah, we were at a ski resort in the summertime, obviously, so they sent us up and down the ski slopes a few times to spread everybody out, and then you just kind of, you hit a wall of trees, and the checkpoints are out there somewhere, and I don't know, around here, I guess people would know more, like cedar glades, where it's just really thick. Yeah. The trees are thin, but they're growing about 14, 18 inches apart.
Gotcha.
And that's all you had to see. You know, you can see about 6 or 8 feet in front of you, and you're just pulling yourself through that. So trying to nav when you can't see any terrain features or anything like that was difficult.
Yeah, it was really a great first-timer's race, correct?
Yes, he found out.
Trial by fire.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you know, that's, I guess one of the things I do love about it is, you know, you learn a lot about yourself. You can't lay down. There's no easy out. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get out there on top of that mountain, and if you say, hey, I can't go any farther, and you realize no one's going to find the body here.
Like, what do you want to do? We've got to get out.
Options are limited.
Yeah. So there was no quitting at that point. We're like, we got to get out.
Right. Uh-huh. So, you know, if you hit the button and call search and rescue to come get you, all you're going to do is get a commentary, and as you are still escorted out under your own power, you know, you can't shorten the race at all. You've got to come out the other side.
So you get home, and your problem solving skills are like elevated
through the roof. So and that's interesting. You know, there's lack of sleep. You're going days on end without sleeping. So your ability to think really. I mean, it's, you know, we had some. All right, I don't know. Did you hallucinate any? I did. I saw a bunch of weird stuff.
At the very least, we'll call your ability compromised.
Yeah, there we go. So Brian and I'll give a shout out to Brian on this. His ability to navigate on lack of sleep to find points through places you can't see when we're in the clouds, amazing. I mean, he's gifted. That's his. And again, he was with his people and he knows his trade. So
I appreciate that.
It was incredible to see.
So what, I guess, if you had to break it down, what was the most epic or memorable moment of the race for each of you guys?
Go ahead. Okay. Couple things. I'll tell you, something's interesting. Something I found out about adventure racing is when you're wearing an adventure race bib, it's like a badge. You can do anything you want. So, you know, sleeping in cemeteries in the middle of the night, just lay down, take a nap. Some guy's front yard, we took a 15-minute nap. Yeah. And, you know, we just do what we want. Trying to get water out of a spigot at 2 a.m. from somebody's house because you're like, you haven't had water and, you know,
it makes you invisible.
You could do what you want.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were just.
I'm playing again,
people
guys.
Think it's
this
totally
is
normal for you to walk through their backyard.
Totally.
Well, no one's going to approach you. So
yeah, you're an adventure racer. You do what you want.
That's right. So, yeah, it is good in that regard. Some of the other moments there. I mean, it was coastal. We wound up finishing close to Portland, and it was beautiful. We were out there, you know, on the bay.
Yeah.
We picked the wrong time from a tidal standpoint. That made it a little challenging. We had a pretty good headwind and tide against us. So we would have to just kind of hug the bank, and then we'd see a point, and the water was just raging past the point, and we just looked like, all right, you ready?
Let's go.
And you just turn the nose out into that current, and it was just a full-on sprint. You know, you're looking at the bank to see, am I going forward? Am I going backwards? And you just see an incremental creeping, you know, as you're just doing everything. You're just frothing the water.
Which, by that point in time, the mental and physical side of things, right? So you're late in this race.
Well,
in the mind, like, but am the I ever fin- gonna make
but
it?
The finish is there. That's the thing. We knew where we were going, and I've never experienced cramping in my forearms before. You know, usually calves and, you know, quads on the bike, but it was that was hard work.
It can be humbling when you're throwing everything you have at it and
the shore's going the wrong way.
and you're not really sure whether you're winning.
Right?
You're like, this is all I got. I hope this is enough. This is what I brought.
So you get done with the race. I mean, there's been highs and lows. Did you learn new stuff about yourself? Is it something where every race you learn something new about yourself? Kind of dive into that just a hair.
Yeah.
I know Brian, like, kind of diving a little more into this. When we sat down to talk about the world's races that you're planning on doing and the ones you've done in the past, you said essentially, like, each race is almost like life compressed into that race.
Right.
You know, you have almost like every emotion. Kind of dive into what you said there.
Yeah, it's very much so. It's you feel it all out there, the highs, the lows, and that's probably one of the biggest points that attracts me to going back to this Sufferfest, is that it will compress those times into a very short period relative to each other. Some of your worst moments that you can even imagine, dark mentally, you know, physically, may just be within hours of some of your peaks. That you literally come out on the other side, you know, and, you know, I've been in West Virginia and have a, you know, 20-foot rhododendron just have me pinned to the ground, you know, at 2 a.m. and you're just like, you know, I'm done. And then, you know, you can't be done. You have to come through. You fight through. Then you find the trail. And the next thing, you're on a ridge and it's a nice trail and the sun's coming up over the gorge. You're like, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
So yeah, that compression of everything, you see a lot of that in the races. Wherever you are, they may have different twists to it, but that's typically something you observe.
It's one of those things that, you know, experiencing lows are what make you realize highs. You know, highs seem better when you've had extreme lows. You know, when I've gotten hurt before, it's like, you know, it sucks and it hurts and it's painful and been off the bike. And it's like, yeah, this is a low, but I'm looking forward to now comparing that to you know, new highs. Highs are going to seem even better because it's relative to to a big time low. Well,
and that's what Brian shared with me, that you know, balance is temporary. So, you know, if you're feeling good, don't get too excited because you're probably going to feel bad pretty soon. And then if you feel bad, just hang on. It's going to get better.
Yeah.
And we experienced that from a food standpoint. That was an interesting thing for me because your body, when you're going multi days, your body gets depleted, and then you could eat whatever we're eating. We had bags that they held about 3,000 calories per bag that lasts us about 12 hours, and but you could eat something and immediately you're back. And it would be like adding 1 gallon of gas to your car, and then when it runs out, another gallon, and then boom. So it was this frequency, you know, is compressed to ups and downs really tight, where normally, like on a Leadville, you have one or two of those in the race. This, you're having it within hours of each other. It's really kind of bizarre.
Yeah, once all the buffering effect of all your stored
energy. It's burned through those glycogen stores, and now
you don't exist after a couple of days.
Right.
So what, kind of in your opinion, what are good characteristics of an ideal adventure race?
Mentally weak.
For me personally, ideals, I mean, I love to travel all over to do these things. I love some of the places that they drop these races. It does require more travel, you know, New Zealand or Australia, British Columbia, even just, you know, getting up to New England. But typically, you know, you're just rewarded with just some spectacular sights and experiences and something typical or atypical from what you normally are doing. Those are always good things in a race. To be well coordinated, like any race, there's a lot of logistics that goes into our bikes and moving things around. So you want to, you know, make sure you go to the races that have put this show on before, and when they deliver the, you know, the environment, and you know it's all prepped. Now it's just up to you to go out there and just live whatever that your personal experience is going to be, and that varies from person to person, certainly from team to team. Every time you go out there, you don't know what you're going to get.
I would say camping skills, that's one thing. I don't really camp, so it's like, okay, you know, we had to take tents with us, we had to take everything that we needed, and I'm like, you know, where's the sink and the toothbrush? But it's not here, so
I've got to brush my teeth two times per day.
Had to deal with that.
And did you guys brush your teeth?
Sometimes. We had a couple.
We had to, yes. And then, you know, and from a training standpoint, if prepping for it, we did, you know, I did a lot of cycling with, you know, with your help. And when I finally got on the bike, once we got out of the woods 24 hours later, I was like, oh, thank God I'm home. I'm on my bike. But I did a lot of high stair climbing over at MUS up at the stadium with my pack, you know, 40-pound pack, and just prep the legs for that, and they performed well. So, I, you know, you can get the body ready, but the mind, it's a mind screw. So you have to embrace the suck, because it's gonna suck, you know. But here's after you're done,
embrace the suck.
Yep. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
But after you do it, it's awesome.
So for somebody wanting to get into or looking to get into,
I think
into
you've
adventure
convinced
racing,
all these fine
yeah,
folks.
Since everybody now wants to do adventure racing,
my wife probably heard New Zealand and thought.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Done. Yes.
So what are some, like, either resources, websites, or anything like that people can go to look, kind of get more information on actually doing one?
Well, there is a U.S. association, you know, United States Adventure Racing Association.
Train.
We need to get a train layover.
Shout out.
Shout out to the train.
Yeah.
So the USARA is probably a good official site for that. A less official, sleepmonsters.com.
Okay.
Shout out. Yes, they have a great resource there. The calendar, all over the world, these things are being run all the time. It's probably much bigger in your Europe and Africa and some of those places.
Do you have to qualify for these, or can you pick any race and...
Well, some, there is the World Series, so there are the, like the Nationals, so there are ones that you would have to qualify to get into.
Okay.
Some of the others, you just have to be dumb enough to sign up. But depending, you know, there will be skills testing, because a lot of them, there is a, there's some pretty high risk out there.
How long's a waiver?
It's you know, pretty much just that same one pager.
You're
giving up everything. That's it. So there's a lot of them going out there, and Sleep Monster's a great place to go.
Is there one, you know, being in the Memphis area, is there one fairly local that you'd recommend?
Some of the better ones that are in the region, there's the Fig up in Kentucky. It's a, you know, if you haven't explored around up there, and a lot of these places, you know, you just don't see from the interstate. But they have some beautiful gorge areas up there that I had no idea. They do a good job. You'll see a lot on East Tennessee, you know, North Georgia, in those hills. Of course, when you get further into Virginia, the Odyssey folks up there in West Virginia, those are all beautiful, and you know, they're drivable. You know, you don't have to, you know, load everything on a plane or the obstacles with that.
Yeah. So for those people again that are thinking to themselves, I'm just too busy to even think about trying anything like that. Give a few tips that you guys have for balancing life and training and stuff, because there is so many disciplines. There's a lot of things to actually train. But throw some tips in there for the folks that, that think they're too busy.
I'll jump in here. So I told Brian that I was too busy to do this race. That's what I did. And the reality was I was. But what I found out though is after, you know, I took the time, I went and did the race, I came home, complete different perspective on life. My mind was clear, work was more efficient. So happy to see my wife and kids and just
alive.
Yeah, be alive. I survived.
Gives you a whole new perspective.
So it gives you a new perspective on life. And you know, sometimes when you're in that daily grind of work, you're really not as productive as you think you are.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Get out of it, come back, and things become clear.
And a lot of the training we were having you do wasn't 8-hour training days. We didn't have a single 8-hour training day.
We didn't do 170 4-hour training day.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So we just figured that one out.
Yeah.
So, I guess the million-dollar question now is, what's next?
That one. For myself, it's God Zone in New Zealand next March. That's a 7-day race. I did the one last March down there, and I thought I'd checked New Zealand off my bucket list, and then they came back with this one. You know, they moved the courses. This one's going to be high altitude, in the mountains, glaciers, a lot of glacier travel.
Yeah, they've got some good varying terrain over there.
Yes,
yeah.
big rivers, a lot of big white water in this one. So I think
hobbits.
Hobbits, mountain trolls,
elves.
Yeah. So probably headed back down there for that one.
Some crazy rain there all day.
Keith, what about you, man?
I don't know. I'm waiting on Brian to invite me back. We'll do something one day. We'll figure something out.
But both are doing Ride to Rosemary.
We're doing Ride to Rosemary. Yeah. That's a shout out.
Yeah.
I think my eighth year, maybe.
And you've done all of them, correct?
Yeah, I've done every,
he's done them all.
Every single one.
I think Todd Tillman's and I have done every mile of that ride. So, yeah, we're excited about that.
Awesome.
Cool.
Anything else?
That answers all my questions. Dale, when are we doing one? New Zealand sounds good. 7 days?
What? Yeah, 7 days.
We're going with Brian.
Come on.
We're just going to go with Brian.
Come on.
Well, if you guys have further questions, you can post them in the comments, and we'll either answer them or we'll just give you Brian's email address. He said he's not busy at all.
Nothing going
life
on.
Balance is there. He'll work you into his schedule. So if you have questions on adventure racing or anything else we talked about, go ahead and post those. And for those who made it through this entire thing, virtual high five.
Bam. We're
That's
out.
That's all we got. Any last comments?
Nope. Thank you.
Enjoy the show.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Okay,
thanks
see
for coming.
Peace.